Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get three bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's. In-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The first complaint came in a little after 3 a.m. At that point in the semester, Marcus had been a resident assistant in Whitcomb Hall for barely 6 weeks, which was just long enough to understand that college students treated emergencies differently than everyone else. A clogged toilet could become a crisis if it happened during a party. A real crisis could be shrugged off if nobody wanted to get written up. Most of the calls he received after midnight involved lockouts, noise complaints, drunken arguments, or someone crying in the laundry room because their life had briefly become too much to manage. So when someone knocked on his door that night, he expected one of those things. Instead, he opened it to find a freshman named Elise standing barefoot in the hallway, with her room key clenched in one hand and tears running silently down her face. For a moment, Marcus thought she was sleepwalking. She wore flannel pajama pants and an oversized sweatshirt, and her hair was tangled around one shoulder as if she had just sat up too quickly in bed. Behind her, the corridor stretched long and dim beneath the fluorescent ceiling lights, quiet except for the soft electric hum that never fully disappeared in old dorms. Elise kept looking past him toward the stairwell. It took nearly a minute before she could explain what had happened. She had woken up because she felt someone in the room, not heard someone, felt them. Her roommate had gone home for the weekend, so Elise knew she should have been alone. The door was locked, the chain was latched, the window was closed. But when she opened her eyes, someone was standing near the foot of the empty bed across from hers. Marcus asked if she got a good look at him. Elise shook her head immediately. That was the part that bothered her most. The room had not been completely dark because the parking lot lights outside spilled through the blinds. She should have been able to see whoever it was clearly enough to describe him, but whenever she tried to explain what he looked like, the details seemed to fall apart. Tall, still. A man, probably. That was all she could say for certain. He stood beside the empty bed for several seconds before turning slightly toward the door. Then he walked into the corner near the closet and was gone. Marcus did not know what to do with that last part, so he focused on the practical pieces first. He checked the hallway. Then he checked Elise's room while she waited near the doorway with both arms wrapped tightly around herself. Nothing looked disturbed. The room smelled faintly of laundry detergent and cold pizza. A desk lamp glowed beside an open textbook. The beds remained exactly where they should have been, one messy from sleep and the other neatly made beneath a string of clipped Polaroids. The closet door stood half open, but there was no one inside it. The window was locked. So was the door. Marcus walked Elise to the downstairs lobby called Campus Security and filed a report that used words like possible intruder, even though every locked door made that explanation feel thinner. By morning, the story had already spread. That was how dorms worked. Nothing stayed private for long in a building full of 19-year-olds with group chats and no sense of proportion. By breakfast, half the third floor had heard that someone broke into Elise's room. By lunch, the person had a knife. By dinner, depending on who told the story, the intruder either lived in the steam tunnels beneath campus or had been hiding inside the walls. Marcus spent most of that day trying to calm people down. Campus security reviewed key card logs and found nothing unusual. Maintenance checked the window. The hall director reminded everyone to keep doors locked and report anything suspicious. Elise moved temporarily into a friend's room, which Marcus understood completely. For about a week, nothing else happened. Then another student woke up and saw someone standing beside his bed. This time, it was on the second floor. The student's name was Jordan, a business major who had already built a reputation for sleeping through fire alarms and missing morning classes. He was not the kind of person Marcus expected to exaggerate anything paranormal because Jordan barely seemed interested in normal conversation. But when Marcus found him sitting in the hallway at 4:15 in the morning, Jordan looked pale and deeply embarrassed. He kept insisting someone had been in the room. His roommate had been asleep the entire time in the bed by the window. Jordan woke suddenly and saw a man standing between the two desks, facing the sleeping roommate. The figure did not move at first. It simply stood there in the dim room as if watching the other bed. Jordan stared at it for several seconds, waiting for his eyes to adjust, but the longer he looked, the less sense the shape made. It had shoulders. It had arms. It had the height and posture of a person. But his face seemed strangely impossible to focus on, like trying to read words through wet glass. Then the figure turned toward Jordan. That was when Jordan yelled. The roommate woke up immediately and turned on the light. The room was empty. Again, the door was locked. Again, the window was locked. Again, key card logs showed no entry besides the two students assigned to the room. Campus security took the report more seriously this time because two complaints in 8 days could not be dismissed as easily as one frightened freshman with a bad dream. They increased nighttime patrols and told the RAs to document anything unusual. Marcus expected that to help. Instead, the reports multiplied. Within 3 weeks, 5 students from 3 different floors claimed they had woken to someone standing in their rooms. Not every account matched perfectly, but certain details repeated often enough that Marcus began writing them down separately from the official reports. The person always appeared late at night, usually between 3 and 4 in the morning. The rooms were always locked. The figure was always standing still when first noticed, and nobody could describe the face. That last part became the detail Marcus could not stop thinking about. Every witness mentioned it differently, but the meaning stayed the same. They could see enough to know someone was there, yet any attempt to remember the face left only blankness, shadow, or a strange mental discomfort that made them look away. Students began sleeping in groups after that. Doors that had once stood propped open all evening now stayed locked. People walked each other to bathrooms. The third floor started keeping lights on in the hallway lounge until morning. Rumors spread faster than Marcus could contain them, and soon everyone in Whitcomb Hall had a name for the figure: the Standing Man. Marcus hated the name immediately because it made the whole thing sound like a ghost story, and ghost stories were the last thing the building needed. Once people had a name for something, they started seeing patterns everywhere. Pipes became footsteps, coat racks became silhouettes, bad dreams became evidence. At least, that was what he kept telling himself. Then Elise came back to him after nearly a month of sleeping in her friend's room. She did not knock this time. She found Marcus in the lobby just before midnight, where he was taping a quiet hours reminder to the front desk. She looked calmer than she had the first night, but not better. Elise had been thinking about the figure, she said. She had gone over the memory again and again, trying to convince herself it was sleep confusion or a nightmare that followed her briefly into waking. But the more she thought about it, the more certain she became of one detail she had not mentioned in the original report. The standing man had not been looking at her. He had been looking at the empty bed where her roommate usually slept. Marcus felt a chill run through him before he could stop it. He remembered Jordan's report immediately. The figure standing near the desks, facing the sleeping roommate first, turning only after Jordan made a sound that changed the shape of the whole thing. Until then, Marcus had assumed the students who woke up were the targets, if there was a target at all. But after Elise said that, he went back through his notes and realized nearly every account included some version of the same detail. The figure was not always beside the witness's bed. Sometimes it stood near the roommate, sometimes beside an empty bed, sometimes facing the wrong side of the room. Entirely, as though it was looking for someone and repeatedly finding the wrong person. The next official complaint came 3 nights later, and for the first time, Marcus was awake when it happened. He had been sitting at his desk around 3:20 in the morning, finishing paperwork, when the hallway outside his room went quiet in a way that felt unnatural, even for that hour. The usual dorm sounds had faded completely. No distant laughter, no plumbing, no elevator shifting behind the wall. And someone screamed on the fourth floor. Marcus grabbed his keys and ran. The scream came from room 417. Marcus reached the fourth floor, still half expecting to find something ordinary waiting for him on the other side of the door. A panic attack, a nightmare, somebody drunk and overreacting after hearing too many stories about the standing man. Instead, he found 6 students crowded barefoot into the hallway, all staring toward the open room with the same stunned expression. Nobody wanted to go back inside. The student who screamed sat against the opposite wall, wrapped in a blanket, while her roommate crouched beside her, trying unsuccessfully to calm her down. Marcus recognized them both immediately. Brianna and Kayla, sophomores, quiet, good students, not the kind of people constantly looking for drama. Brianna kept repeating under her breath that he had been standing inside the room. Marcus stepped carefully through the doorway. At first glance, nothing looked wrong. The overhead lights were on. One desk chair had been knocked sideways. A laptop lay open on the floor beside the bed, as if someone dropped it in a hurry. Beyond that, the room looked painfully normal. Then Marcus noticed the window. It was open several inches, despite freezing rain blowing against the building outside. That made no sense. The fourth floor windows barely opened at all because of campus safety regulations, and students constantly complained about it during warmer months. Marcus crossed the room and shoved it closed immediately while cold wind pushed scattered papers across the carpet. Behind him, Brianna finally managed to explain what happened. She and Kayla had both fallen asleep while studying. Sometime after 3 a.m, Brianna woke suddenly and saw someone standing beside Kayla's bed. At first, she assumed it was some guy Kayla invited over earlier in the evening, but something about the posture felt wrong immediately. The figure stood completely still with its arms hanging loosely at its sides while facing the bed without reacting to anything around it. Then Kayla woke up too. That was when both of them started screaming. Marcus asked whether the person moved toward them, but both girls shook their heads immediately. The figure had simply turned toward the window and disappeared. Not climbed out, not ran, just gone. Marcus realized every student in the hallway was listening carefully for his reaction. That was part of being an RA nobody warned you about. Students watched your face constantly during emergencies. If you looked nervous, the entire floor became nervous. So Marcus forced himself into practical mode again. He called campus security. He separated the girls and took statements individually. He checked the bathroom, the closet, even beneath the beds, despite knowing how ridiculous it felt. Security arrived 15 minutes later and repeated the entire process all over again. Nothing useful turned up. No footprints outside the window ledge. No evidence of forced entry. No suspicious students wandering the building. By sunrise, Whitcomb Hall felt different. The standing man had stopped being a rumor. Now students were genuinely afraid. Parents started calling housing services after hearing stories from their kids. Several students requested room changes. One sophomore refused to sleep in Whitcomb at all and started spending nights on a friend's couch across campus. Campus security began parking a cruiser outside the dorm between midnight and dawn, which only made the atmosphere feel worse, and through all of it, the descriptions stayed consistent. Someone standing silently inside locked rooms, always late at night, always watching. Marcus stopped sleeping well after that. At first, he blamed stress and exhaustion. Midterms had started, complaints kept piling up, and his hall director had quietly begun treating the entire situation like a potential public relations problem. But even during the rare moments when Marcus managed to relax, he found himself listening constantly to the building around him. Every creak in the hallway, every elevator sound, every late-night footstep outside his room. The fourth floor became especially tense. Students there started leaving bathroom lights on overnight, so the hallway never fell fully dark. Groups formed naturally after midnight because nobody wanted to walk alone anymore. Even the usual loud personalities in the building became quieter once the lights dimmed. Three nights after Brianna's incident, Marcus finally saw something himself. Not clearly, but enough. He had fallen asleep in the desk chair beside his bed while finishing incident reports around 2 in the morning. Sometime later, he woke abruptly without understanding why. His room remained dark except for the weak glow of the desk lamp still burning beside him. At first, everything looked normal. Then Marcus realized his roommate Dylan was awake too. Dylan sat upright in bed, staring toward the corner beside the closet without moving at all. Marcus started to ask what was wrong, but before he could speak, Dylan quietly said something that froze him instantly. "There's somebody here." The words barely sounded like Dylan's voice at all. Marcus turned toward the corner automatically. At first, he saw nothing except shadow and hanging clothes near the closet door. Then his eyes adjusted slightly, and the shape separated itself from the darkness. Someone stood there. Tall? Still. Marcus felt every muscle in his body lock at once. The figure stood partly in shadow beside the closet with one shoulder angled strangely toward the room. He could not make out clothing clearly or even tell where the face should have been. Every time he tried focusing directly on it, his eyes slipped away instinctively toward the edges instead. But someone was standing there. Marcus knew that with complete certainty. Nobody moved. The room remained perfectly silent except for the buzzing desk lamp beside him. Then Dylan whispered something else. "It's looking at me." The figure shifted slightly, not walking, not stepping, just a slow change in posture that somehow felt worse than sudden movement would have. Marcus reached blindly toward the lamp beside him and switched it fully on. The corner was empty. Both of them sat frozen for several seconds afterward before Dylan climbed out of bed and turned on every light in the room without saying another word. Neither of them slept the rest of the night. What disturbed Marcus most afterward was not the sighting itself. It was realizing he finally understood exactly what the students had been trying to describe. The figure did not feel hidden. It felt obvious, as though it wanted to be seen. After Marcus and Dylan saw the figure in their room, the atmosphere inside Whitcomb Hall changed completely. Before that night, Marcus could still pretend there might be a reasonable explanation buried underneath the panic. Exhausted students frightening each other, rumors spreading through the building until every shadow started feeling dangerous. But Marcus knew what he saw. More importantly, he knew how it felt. The standing man never behaved like an intruder trying to avoid detection. It stood openly inside rooms without reacting to fear, noise, or movement around it. That was what unsettled Marcus most afterward. It wanted to be seen. The building itself felt different after midnight. During the day, Whitcomb still looked like every other aging dorm on campus. Students hauled laundry through the halls. Music leaked beneath doors. People argued about classes and relationships. But sometime around 2 or 3 in the morning, the atmosphere shifted. The hallways became too quiet, not empty. Quiet, as though the building itself were listening. Marcus started noticing patterns the longer the semester continued. Reports almost always happened on nights when the dorm settled unusually early. The standing man never appeared during parties, loud weekends, or nights when students stayed awake together until sunrise. It appeared during silence. That realization unsettled Marcus enough that he started searching through old campus archives, mostly trying to prove to himself there was nothing there to find. Instead, he found Andrew Vail, a sophomore who died inside Whitcomb during winter break in 1971. The article itself was short, no foul play suspected. Student found deceased in dorm room, possible cardiac event. But the location caught Marcus's attention immediately. Fourth floor, room 417, the same room where Brianna and Kayla saw the standing man near the window. Once students learned about Andrew Vail, the haunting became tied completely to him. Some believed they were seeing his ghost. Others insisted the entire thing had become dorm hysteria feeding itself. Then came the incident in the stairwell. That was the moment the story stopped feeling like campus folklore and became something Marcus genuinely feared. It happened during finals week, and Marcus had been returning from the laundry room around 1:30 in the morning when he heard footsteps somewhere above him inside the stairwell. Slow, measured. At first, he assumed another student was heading downstairs until he realized the sound never changed distance. Whoever walked above him remained exactly one flight overhead, no matter how quickly Marcus climbed. The footsteps matched him perfectly. One floor above, always. Marcus finally stopped between the third and fourth floors. The footsteps stopped too. For several long seconds, the stairwell remained completely silent, except for the hum of emergency lights overhead. Then a voice spoke quietly from the landing above him. "Wrong room." Marcus froze instantly. The voice sounded rough and distant, like someone speaking after not using their voice for years. Marcus stared upward toward the next landing. Nobody stood there. Then the footsteps started again, slowly descending toward him. Marcus ran. He returned with campus security minutes later, but nobody was there. Nothing looked disturbed. After that night, Marcus stopped talking openly about the standing man. Until then, the figure only watched. Now it had spoken. And somehow those two words disturbed Marcus more than every sighting combined. Wrong room. The phrase implied purpose, as though the standing man had been searching for someone and repeatedly ending up in the wrong place. So the sighting slowed after winter break and not stopped. Students still occasionally reported waking during the night, feeling watched, but eventually the panic faded the way strange campus stories always do. Rumors lost momentum. Students graduated. New stories replaced old ones. Marcus graduated 2 years later and never lived in Whitcomb again. For a long time, he convinced himself distance had weakened the story in his mind. Adult life crowded out the intensity of college experiences, jobs, bills, relationships. Real responsibilities replaced the strange, insulated world of dorm life. Then, nearly 15 years later, Marcus returned to campus for an alumni event. Whitcomb Hall looked smaller than he remembered. The brick exterior had been renovated, and the old lobby furniture replaced with modern seating and security gates. Most students probably had never even heard the standing man stories anymore. Marcus eventually found himself speaking with one of the housing coordinators near the front desk. After learning Marcus used to work in Whitcomb as an RA, the coordinator casually mentioned that reports still surfaced every few years, usually the same pattern, a student waking during the night and seeing someone standing beside the other bed in the room. Never their own bed. Always the roommate's. That detail still unsettled Marcus enough that he finally asked whether anyone had ever figured out why. The coordinator explained that a history professor had researched Andrew Vail years earlier after his own son moved into Whitcomb. According to old housing records, Andrew had not been alone in room 417 when he died, and he had a roommate. But the roommate unexpectedly left campus several days before winter break ended because of a family emergency. Everyone assumed both students had gone home, which meant nobody realized Andrew remained inside the dorm after suffering some kind of medical emergency overnight. He was not discovered for days. Marcus stood silently listening while something cold slowly settled into his stomach. Because suddenly the sightings made terrible sense. The standing man was never watching the students who woke up first. He was always standing beside the other bed, looking for someone who was supposed to be there.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.